And we're holding on Chof Gimel Amud Aleph by the Mishnah. Mishnah says, Ha'isha Shenodra B'Nazir, a woman made a neder of Nazirus, V'Ha'isha Shosav Yayin Matamala Mason, if then she drinks wine or becomes Tommy Master in her Nazirus, Ha'isha Sekega Sesaraboyin, then she gets Malchus. Now, there's not that much of a chiddush in that. It's really more as an introduction to the next part of the Mishnah, which is what happens when her husband is nefer to her. So the Mishnah continues, Hefer la Baila, what happens if her husband then was nefer for her? Vihila yodosha Hefer la Baila, she doesn't know that her husband was nefer because we learned in the Nedarim, the husband does have to say the words, mufalich, but he doesn't actually necessarily have to say it in his wife's presence. So she doesn't know that he was nefer, but he did. Vihila yodosha Hefer la Baila. V'hoisa shoysa yibayayin matamala mason, she drinks wine or she becomes tominess. Then she does not get malchus for that, because even though she meant to do badly, even though she meant to do an isser, the fact is there was no isser because her husband had been mevatel the nazirus. So we talked about yesterday, we talked about the last 2 days, the whole discussion of whether Megah's guy is whether Megah's guy is, whether he cuts off the neder, meaning that it existed at one point but now doesn't exist anymore, or whether Miyaka Ocker, or whether he uproots it completely. But either way, the point is the Nazirus is gone now. Rabbi Yehuda Oymen, Enes Efegas Saboyim, Tispeg Makas Maudus. Rabbi Yehuda says, granted, maybe she's not getting Malchus, Midaraisa, because the fact is she wasn't over on Isra after all, Tispeg Makas Maudus, but at least she should be getting Makas Maudus, which is lashes derabbanon, because the fact is she meant to be over an isser. There are, in fact, the Tosfos earlier on Chof Aleph Amud Beis seems to imply that maybe Rabbi Yehuda is not even necessarily disagreeing with the Chachamim. He's more clarifying. He's saying, I agree that in this case there's no, not I agree, but he's saying you should know that don't think when the Tanakhama says that there's no malchus means she gets away scot free, there is going to have to be some kind of consequence. Other Mephoshim learn that, in fact, they're arguing. Part of it may depend on that point before of whether Miyaka Ocker or Megah's guy is, because, again, if we say Megah's guy is, which is how we said in the end, that the husband cuts away the neder from now on, but it existed until now, the fact is, until now, there existed a neder, and therefore there should be some kind of consequence for having violated it. So the Gemara says, Tan Rabbanan, we learn in a Braisa, when the Pasuk says, Isha Haferam Vashem Yislach La, her husband had vetoed, had canceled the nether, and Hashem will forgive her. So what does Hashem have to forgive her for? It means, Be'isha Shehefa La Baila V'Hiva Yada Akasim Adab. The Pasuk is talking about a woman, like this case of the Mishnah, where she made the neder of Nazirus, or some other, or it doesn't matter, Nazirus, any kind of neder, her husband canceled it, v'hiva yoda, and she didn't know about it, because medaber is what the pasuk is talking about, she tzricha kapora uslicha, so she still needs kapora and forgiveness from Hashem, because she meant to do badly, because we're talking about, again, where she violated her neder, thinking that it's still a neder, and it turns out it wasn't a neder after all. So the Gemara continues, when Rabbi Akiva would reach this pasuk and learn it, he would cry, and he would say, think of the implications of it. Somebody who, as in this example, meant to pick up a piece of chazir flesh, and in the end he ends up picking up a piece of sheep meat, which is kosher, ton kaporo slicha. Nevertheless, the implication is that he needs kaporo slicha, because that's what we're saying. In effect, that's what she did over here. Is that she thought she was being over on an isser, and it turns out that she was not. So then if somebody actually intends to pick up the chazir and he actually picks it up and eats it, Allah has kama v'kama, how much more so that he needs forgiveness from Hashem, because not only there he intended to do the Avera, he actually did it. So it's a deep point, in other words, and there is actually a point, the Me'iri makes a point. Me'iri, besides for his Perush on Gemara, he also wrote a sefer called Chibur HaTshuva, which is all about how about Tshuva. What is it exactly? So he points out, you know, like this, in the first example of the Chazir versus Tleh, don't we usually say, Machshava Ra Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Metzayach for the Ma'isa, that Hashem doesn't consider a bad thought as the equivalent of a bad deed. The difference is here there was an actual Maisa. It just turns out it was a Maisa that was actually mutter in the end. But here we're talking about that she, or in Rabbi Akiva's example, he thought to do an Avera and actually did something towards that goal, except it turned out that it was that they picked up the wrong thing or that they did the wrong thing. So therefore, that's what we're saying. It needs real slich of a kapara. There is a very interesting point, by the way, that Rabbi Yosef Engel makes in Guryona Shas. Why of all the Tanoim did Rabbi Akiva particularly cry when he got to this point? And this is a very interesting point. We know that Rabbi Akiva was eventually one of the Asara Harugi Malchus. And we know that the whole thing happened with them because of the sale of Yosef. We say it in the Piyotim and Musaf of Yom Kippur. Now, when you think about it, the brothers of Yosef was this kind of thing. They meant to do very badly to Yosef. What does Yosef tell them afterwards, after at the reunion in Parshas Vayigash? He says, it's not you. Hashem planned the whole thing. It's all for good, that Mitzrayim and the whole world should be saved from famine, etc. And yet, well, they need slich of a kapara, and that ended up being that kapara, part of it, ended up being the Asara Arugi Malchus. So Rabbi Akiva is crying at that, realizing that that is why he's going to end up being one of the Asara Arugi Malchus as a result of them, to use his metaphor, trying to pick up chazer flesh and actually, in fact, picking up a piece of kosher meat. Continues the Gemara, Kayotze B'davar Ata Omer, in a similar vein, you have a different pasuk that expresses a similar point, in the case of an Oshem Tolri. So the case of an Oshem Tolri is a person is not certain whether he did something which is an Isser Kores, and we're going to talk about soon what the exact scenario is. So then, if he knew for sure that he had done this Isser, he would be bringing a Chatas. But because he's not sure, then he brings an Oshem Tolui, and it sort of covers him and saves him from Yisurim until he actually finds out. If he ever actually finds out that he actually did an Isser that would have made him Chayav Chatas, then he brings the Chatas as well. So the Pasuk expresses it, V'lo yada v'oshem, he didn't know, and he was guilty, meaning he didn't know for sure whether he was guilty, but nevertheless we consider him guilty. V'nosa avon, and he bears his sin, and therefore he has to bring the korban. So same kind of thing. Ma mishin iskaven l'alas v'yadim sar tle. Again, madach, somebody who intended to pick up sheep meat. Or here it's the other way around, actually. He intended to pick up sheep meat. He intended to pick up something which is mutter. But all of the yodim is sar chazir, and instead he picked up chazir to goin, for an example, chaticha safek shol shuman safek shol chayvan. For example, you have a piece of meat in front of him, which he's not sure whether it's shuman, which is fat that is mutter, or chaylev, which is also, and which would be chayev kares and chayev fatas. And still omakrov and nosavoy, and still the pasuk says that he bears his guilt, meaning the case, Rabbi Akiva is understanding that the case of the Oshem Tolui, doesn't require that. Now you're going to have soon, we're going to talk about the concept of shtei chatichas. You may have two pieces in front of you. One is chaylev and one is shuman, and you're not sure which is which, and you ate one of them. Rabbi Akiva is saying that's not necessary. You can even have one piece which itself there's a suffix on, whether it's heter or osir, and then the person ate it, thinking that after all it was mutter, and it turns out that now he's not sure. It may have been osir. And still the pasuk says omakrov nosa avoinoi, and still the pasuk says he'll bear his guilt because after all, objectively he did something wrong. What he ate may in fact have been chaylev. So then again, mishin eskaven malas biyadib sar chazir. If a person intends to do an iser to eat chazir, but all of biyadib sar chazir, and he actually does end up doing it, alach is kama v'kama. How much more so that he needs a kapara from Hashem? Isi ben Yehuda, Omer. Then Isi ben Yehuda says it a little bit differently, because he holds that the scenario for an Oshem Tolui has to be a little different. Again, so he says, again, let's start with the same metaphor. Madach, somebody who intended to pick up sheep meat, but all of the yodib sar chazir, and instead he picked up chazir, and the scenario would be not like Rabbi Akiva's case where you have one piece which might be one, might be the other, but rather, for example, a person has two pieces in front of him. One of them was chaylev, one was shuman. And meaning, in other words, at one point we knew which was which. And he picked up one of them, and he picked up one of them, and he ate it. And he picked up one of them, and he ate it. And now he's not sure which one it was. And yet, Benosa Avona, and yet the Pasuk says that he bears his guilt. So Isi Ben Yehuda holds, and this is in fact the halacha, that you only chayev an Oshim Toloi only if it's what's called Ikba Isura, only if there's an object there that you know was Osir. So if you have it, about Kiva's scenario where you have a thing that might have been Osir, might have been Mutter, only one piece, you don't even know whether there was any Chalev over there, then you wouldn't bring an Oshim Toloi for that. Only when you know that one of the pieces, is in fact Osir, you just forgot which one it was. And it could even be, before we should talk about, let's say you could have, I thought I recognized this one, and that's why I ate it. And nevertheless, it turns out that now afterwards, you're not sure. And the pasuk is saying Menosa Avonai. So he continues, Hamiskavim Walas Biyadim Sar Chazir V'Olam Biyadim Sar Chazir. So then, if a person intends to do the avera of eating chazir, and he actually does, Allah is kama v'kama. How much more so that he needs a kapara from Hashem. And the brisa finishes off. Al Dovrze Yidvu Hadoyim. People who feel bad about things, people who have the sensitivity to feel bad, the word dover actually means sick. About such things should in fact feel bad about this kind of thing, realizing how strict Hashem's standards are for us. That not only is it important what a person does, but also what he intended to do, and vice versa. Not only is it important what he intended to do, but even if he inadvertently did the wrong thing. Tosfos, in fact, points out why does Braisa use this unusual expression Yidvu Adovim? Because the word Yidvu is actually an abbreviation for the key words of the pasuk we just quoted. Yoda v'oshem v'nosa. He knew and he's guilty and he bears his guilt, and therefore he brings the Oshem Tolu. So we have a few different examples. We have the example of this woman who made a neder of nezirus and her husband vetoed it. We have the various cases involving chaylev and shuman. So the Gemara goes through b'chol hani lomali. Why do we need all of these examples? Why does the Braisaf have to give three different examples? So the answer is tzrichin. We need all of them. The itona gabi, and the fact is, okay, when it comes to the actual Oshem Toloi, it's true, there's a machloikas between Rabbi Akiva and Isi Ben Yehuda, whether it's enough to have one piece, or whether you need two pieces in order to bring an Oshem Toloi, fine. But the actual hurrah we can learn from it is equally valid either way, whether the person is technically bringing an Oshem Toloi or not. Either way, the pasuk concerned in Benosa Avonai, just in one case he can be mechaper on it with an Oshem Toloi, and in the other case maybe not. So why does the Braisa have to bring all of them? Or for that matter, the Braisa brings two, and the Braisa started off with the example of our Mishnah with the woman who had made a neder of Nezirus and her husband canceled it. So the most true thing, we do need all of them. The Itona Gabi Isha, because if it was said only by a woman, by the case of the Nezirus, you would say, you know why she needs this forgiveness and pardon from Hashem. Because after all, she did blatantly mean to do an Isser. The fact is, she, as far as she knew, her Nezirus is still fully in effect, and she's going and drinking wine or doing whatever anyway. But when you have a piece of meat that might be chaylev and might be shuman, you could argue, after all, that he meant to do the right thing. He truly didn't know there was a suffix on it. He ate it. Only afterwards does he realize there was a suffix on it. So loy boy kaparo slicha. Maybe you would say that he doesn't need kaparo slicha. And yet the Braisa points out, the Tanakhama of the Braisa points out that nevertheless, yes, you do need, a person does need kapara and slicha for that as well. Even though he meant heter, the fact is what he ate may have been isur. The itmar hodah, and if you only had that case, you would say the ike isura. The fact is, okay, because you have an isur over there, because you have something which may actually be usur. Therefore, he needs kapara or slicha. You should have been more careful. You should have been more careful to consider that this thing may be usur. Avol isha dehefer labayla, but when it comes to the woman whose husband was made for her, they had tera, where after all it turns out it is completely mutter. There's no isur left. because there's no issue left, because again, we're not talking about the case where the first part of the Mishnah, where when she became Tomei, then she gets Malchus. Because there her husband hadn't been made for her yet. We're talking about the husband was already made for before she became Tomei or drank wine or whatever. So there is, in fact, now when we find out the facts, we find there really is no issue over here at all, unlike the piece, Suffolk Chalev, Suffolk Truman, where there's always that doubt hanging over it, whether maybe it was us. So in the case of the woman, you would say, Loiti poi kaparo slicha. Maybe she doesn't need kaparo slicha. And therefore the Mishnah and the beginning of the Braisa tell us that nevertheless the Pasuk is telling us that she does. The itma hani tauti, and then if we only had these two, you know why? Just the opposite. You could say those two, fine, kaparo slicha is enough. Because in a way it's not so serious. There's no fixed issur in place over there. In the case of the woman, it turns out there was no issur at all. In the case of the Suffolk piece, maybe it was also, maybe not. But in Issi ben Yehuda's example, where you have two pieces, one chelav, one shoman, the ikba isura, and there was a clear issur over there, because after all, one of the pieces definitely was usur. And he knew that one of them was usur. He just got careless and thought, I can recognize which is which. And then he eats one of them and then he realizes afterwards, you know what, maybe I misidentified it. So you would think maybe loy sagi loy the kaporo slicha. Maybe kaporo slicha is not enough. Maybe he needs, or maybe even a korban is not enough for him. Maybe he needs something more than that. It's very close to mazid at that point. Kamash malan, loy shna. Therefore, the braisa is telling us there's no difference even in that case. Even in that case, an Oshem Toloi will accomplish a kapara for him, at least a provisional kapara. Again, if he ever finds out that it really was Chelev, the piece that he ate, then he's going to bring a chatas, but that's a different matter. But as long as you have that suffix, then yes, the Oshem Toloi will cover him. So therefore, we need all those three cases. Okay. So now the Gemara is going to go into talking about this point.
It's like chronological in the order.
Chronological in the order of what?
The Mishnah into, I guess, the
Braisa. I mean, Braisas sometimes were composed, some Braisas were composed after the Mishnah to explain it. Many of them were composed simultaneously with the Mishnah. Many times you have that there were different versions of teachings of Tanoim that were floating around in different Bati Medrash, and Rebbe picked one of them, usually Rebbe Meir's version, and made that the Mishnah, and all the other ones then it turned out to be that became Braisas. But so it could be either way. This one, a lot of times when the Gemara begins Tanu Rabbanon, it's actually a Braisa that comes from when it starts Tanu Rabbanon, it means that it comes from an authoritative collection of Braisas, meaning sometimes you have like individual Braisas that were floating around, and sometimes even the Gemara will say on them there's a mistake in them or something. Tanu Rabbanon means that it comes from a reliable collection of Braisas. Usually when a braisa starts with a pasuk, like this one did, many times it comes from the Midrash Halacha on those psukim. Sifra, if it's from Vayikra, Sifri, if it's from Midrash Dvarim, Mechilta, if it's from Shmos. I haven't looked it up, but very likely this one that begins with a pasuk is very likely from Sifri on the pasuk. In which case, I mean, Sifri was assembled by Rav in the generation after Rebbe, in the generation after the Mishnah was written. But again, the material in it comes from, the material in it goes back long before him.
Right. Yeah. I'm saying the Gemara doesn't do the opposite direction, like, oh, if you had the Braisa, then would you have to do the Mishnah?
No, it doesn't do that, because the Mishnah always tells us, did it briefly, and then the Braisa expands on them. So here, for example, the Mishnah is just telling us the fact that she doesn't get Malchus, and the Rehuda is saying she should get Makas Maudus. The Mishnah is not even telling us anything about the Kaporo Slicha that she needs in this case. The Braisa is what gives us all that detail. But that's usually how it is. The Mishnah will tell us a din briefly without giving us the source and the pasuk, without giving us any outgrowths of it or whatever, and then a Braisa will come and teach that out. Okay. So now then we talked about this point about that not only a person's actions are important, but a person's kavanah is important. Because we're saying over here, for example, this woman, it turns out her actions, there was nothing wrong with them because the neder was already canceled, but nevertheless she needs kapara because he meant to do bad. And the same thing with the other one. So now let's talk further about this point, about the importance of kavanah in a person's actions. Omer Rabbi Babachana Omer Rabbi Yechman. My dichtiv, what does it mean, a pasuk, the last pasuk of Hosea? Ki yeshorim darchei Hashem, the ways of Hashem are straight. The tzaddikim yelchu bam, the tzaddikim walk in them, ufoshim yikoshlu bam, and the sinners stumble in them. So what is the positive, what are the implication seems to be that, the implication seems to be that there can be the exact same thing that the tzaddikim and the rishoyim do, but the tzaddikim are going in the way of Hashem and the rishoyim are stumbling over it. So what is it? So moshel l'shnei bnei adam shetzolu es pischein. We can make a moshel of two people who both roasted their korbanos Pesach and are going to eat it. Echad ochla l'shum mitzvah, the echad ochla l'shum achila gasa. One of them ate it in having in mind the mitzvah, and one of chokim omer aleph about the beginning of the widest lines. And the echad ochla l'shum achila gasa, and the other one eats it. And the other one eats it as achila gasa. Now, Tosfos points out here and in some other places that there are actually different kinds of things that the Gemara uses the word achila gasa for. Achila gasa means overeating. But there can be two possibilities. One is that a person is full, but not absolutely stuffed. He can eat, but it's not as comfortable for him because he's already full.
No need to eat, but
he still is able to eat. And then you have a person where he's eating and pashut, he's revolted by the sight of food. He's eaten so much that he can't even look at food, and if he forces it down, then so Tosfos points out that kind of thing can't really be called eating. So therefore, that we wouldn't be talking about over here, because if he eats it as that second kind of achila, so over here, when we talk about achila gasa, we mean the first kind. He's full already. He overfilled himself on the meal beforehand, which he shouldn't have done. In fact, that's why you have on Erev Pesach, you're not supposed to have in general on Erev Yom Tov, you're not supposed to have a suda late in the day. So this person didn't do that. He ate more than he should have. Now when it comes to the Korban Pesach, he feels very full, but not so full that food is nauseating to him. So now he eats the Korban Pesach, but nevertheless, he's still, as the Gemara is going to go on to say, he's still accomplishing the mitzvah of eating the Korban Pesach because it can be called eating. As opposed to, it's supposed to be eaten our soiva. It's supposed to be eaten that you, no, not when you're full already. It's supposed to be eaten that you fill up on the Korban Pesach. It's supposed to be you eat beforehand. You have, for example, you have the Korban Chagiga together with it in most years. You eat some of the Chagiga, then you eat Korban Pesach, and that's the last thing you eat. And that way, now you've filled yourself up. And the last thing you ate to fill yourself up was the Korban Pesach, which is why we do the Afikoman now instead of that. Interesting point, actually, the Mordechai mentions at the end of Psachim that he brings that in the times of the Beis Mikdash, they used to have the Seder in a different order than we do because they had the Korban Pesach in it, but he actually says that they'd actually do Shulchan Aruch earlier in the Seder. They do the Haggadah, then they do Shulchan Aruch, which includes the Korban Pesach, which includes the Chagiga, and only then would they eat Matzah and Morer on the Korban Pesach. And the rest of that. So instead of we have Shulchan Aruch after Matzah, Morer, and Purach, he learned the Mordechai brings that they would have it beforehand. And he says the reason why eventually they changed that, not just because we don't have a Korban Pesach, but because people didn't know where to draw the line, where to stop at Shulchan Aruch, so that they have proper room for Matzah and Morer and Korban Pesach when there is one, and therefore they switched it around to do it the way we do. Anyway, the point is that Marshall also makes a point in a different Gemara, which also brings this point, that if the person eats it as achila gasa of the second kind that Tosfos is describing, where you can't stand the sight of food, you can't even call that eating. So if the Pasuk is implying that he and the tzaddik are doing the same thing, and Rish Lakish is and Rabbi Baba Chana rather is explaining that both of them are eating the Korban Pesach, then it has to be both of them are doing something that can be described in halacha as eating. So therefore, so one ate at l'shem mitzvah and one ate at l'shem achila gasa. So zesh ochlo the shum mitzvah, the one who ate it for the sake of the mitzvah, good. The tzaddikim yochubam, he's the tzaddik who's going in the way of Hashem. The zesh ochlo the shum achila gasa, the one who ate it in the wrong way, ufoshim yikoshluvam, he's the sinner who stumbles in the way of Hashem. That even though he sinned by doing he did badly by eating the Korban Pesach in that way.
Same pasuk is split in half.
Same pasuk is split in half, right? That's what we're saying. He yeshonim darchei Hashem. the ways of Hashem are straight. The tzaddik and yochuvam, or foishi mikosh luvam. The point is, in other words, it sounds like the tzaddik and the rasha are doing the exact same derech of Hashem, but their motivations are different, and the way they go about it is different. In fact, in connection with the idea, we're talking mainly about motivations over here. In fact, the Meiri, the Meiri learns over here that l'shem achila gasa doesn't even necessarily mean that he actually is eating it like Tosfos is saying on a full stomach, but rather that he intends to just eat it as gluttonous eating. He's not thinking of the mitzvah. He's just thinking, ooh, this is a nice, good steak, and I'm going to eat it. Anyway, Omalei Rish Lakish, but Rish Lakish says to Rabbi Yochanan, how could he say that? Hi, Rosh HaKaris Lai. How do you call the guy a Rosh or a Peshaya? Nihid, the Lord Ka'ovid Mitzvah, and I'm with her. Fine, he's not doing the mitzvah in the best possible way. Pesach Mia Ka'ovid, the fact is he has accomplished the mitzvah of Korban Pesach. You have, there is the concept of mitzvah tzrichas kavana, fine, but you still have your yotz of the mitzvah even if you don't have that kavana. So, or even this example that he ate a lot, but he still can eat, then he's still yotz of the mitzvah. It's not the ideal. You can't call him koshim for that.
Is it a machlokes?
It's a machlokes whether mitzvah tzrichas kavana or not. Right. One point is there's different degrees of kavana. There's kavana to do the actual mitzvah. There's the general kavana to be fulfilling what Hashem wants. We're asking, I think, that mitzvah ain't tzrichas kavana for most purposes. But even if tzrichas kavana, still the fact is he has the minimum kavana to eat this piece of meat. He's doing it for the wrong reasons. Mitzvah saying, if you had, for example, if he thought that it was a piece of something else and he ate it, and it turns out that it was a Korban Pesach, maybe then you could say he's not Yotze. Maybe then you say he's lacking Kavana altogether. That would be similar to, for example, there's a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah that mentions that if a person eats matzah when he's crazy, if a person has attacks of mental illness or epilepsy or whatever, and eats matzah during that time, then he's not Yotze because he doesn't even have the das to eat matzah. Anyway, so Rish Lakish says you can't call the guy a Rosha just for not having the right kavana and for doing the mitzvah not in the best possible way. Ella, rather, Rish Lakish says, I'll give you a mashal to explain the pasuk. Mashal l'shnei b'nei adam, ze ishtoi v'achoyse imo. One has his wife and his sister with him in the house. Ze ishtoi v'achoyse imo. And the other one also has his wife and his sister in his house. Then each of them is going to have relations. One of them winds up going to his wife, which is a mitzvah. And the other one, by accident, goes into the wrong room and ends up having relations with a sister. Is the example of tzaddikim yochuvam, that he ends up having to have done the mitzvah of oin. The one who winds up with his sister is the example of a foshim mikosh luvam, that he's a sinner that stumbles. In other words, that Hashem doesn't watch him, that he was careless about it, and in fact, so again, he didn't mean to do an issur, but the fact is he did do an issur. So we're saying, now why tackle would that happen? So Marashah, Gemara is also in Hodias, so Marashah explains over there, you can say it can depend, in other words, Hashem can make it depend on their kavana. One of them intended to have relations with his wife, and therefore Hashem helps him out, and Taka makes that happen. And the other one had intentions to do an Aveira, and Hashem makes it possible that, in fact, he winds up in the wrong room and does the Aveira. But the Gemara says, me dummy. Still, how do you compare it? How do you say that that's a good metaphor to explain the Pasuk? Anan kamrin choda derech. After all, the expression of the Pasuk is Yeshorim darche Hashem. The ways of Hashem are straight. And then tzaddikim yochuvam uposhim yikosh luvam. The implication is that there's only that they're both doing the same thing. Hocha shnei derechim. And here you have two different ways. Each one had relations with a different relative. So a heter and iser, you would have to have where they're doing the exact same thing, they're doing the exact same thing, but one is doing a mitzvah and the other one is doing an iser. So in Rabbi Yochanan's example, that would have worked because they're both eating the Korban Pesach, except for the fact that, as Rish Lakish points out, in that case they really are both, after all, doing a mitzvah. Just one of them is doing a mitzvah minam muvcher, and the other one is not doing minam muvcher.
So even
if he eats it without the proper intention, or like a piece of meat or whatever, he's still yotze. Yeah, he's still yotze the minimum amount. Yeah. The Gemara says, "Moshe l'loy to shtei b'nois of imai." Rather, you can compare it. An example of the pasuk would be the example of what happened with Loit and his two daughters.
hinge and now in each time when his older daughter and then when his younger daughter had relations with him, it's the exact same maisa. The older one is involved with him and he's involved with her. And yet hinge and scavenger the shame mitzvah. They intended it for a mitzvah because, as we know, they thought the whole world had been destroyed. So therefore we can say on them, but tzaddikim yochubam, so they're the tzaddikim who go in the right way. As opposed to Tloit, who intended it for Avera, on him we can say that he's a sinner who stumbles in the way of Hashem. So the Gemara is going to ask how we know that he was a scavenger of Avera. Tosfos, by the way, points out that there is in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, you have a sugya over there that extends over a couple of blocks that deals with the details of Shev Mitzvah Bnei Noach. One of the points is, it discusses over there, which arayas are also to Bnei Noach, and which ones are mutter. And there's an opinion over there, and I think this is the final halacha, that a goy is actually mutter to marry his daughter. You have the Rambam Paskins and Hilchos Malachim. There are only six arayas that are all in the end, that are also to a Ben Noach. Eshes Ish is one of them, his sister from his mother's side, his mother, a couple of others, whatever, but his daughter is actually not on the list. Nevertheless, Tosfos points out that we know that after the Mabul, the Umas Ha'olam fenced themselves in and said, you know, we realize the Mabul was brought about, among other things, because of rampant Znus, so we got to take steps to fence ourselves in. So even though it wasn't technically also to them, it was still generally accepted as an Issur. And yet we're saying that Loit intended to violate that Issur, and therefore Hashem Taka caused him that he ended up violating it.
This was accepting of this minhag happened after.
So it happened before. It happened after the Mabul, but the Mabul was 500 years before Loit.
Okay. You can just like decide to make an Isra on yourself.
You, of course, a person that the whole Nedarim and Nozer is about a person making an Isra on himself. But especially when you have when it's something that the Rabbim have accepted on themselves, and yeah, we're saying over here that it has the force of an Isra on the individual. Yeah.
The difference is about like what the chumras are and what the.
There is such a thing as minhag tos, for example, sure. But on the whole, we say minhag Yisrael Torah. We say, for example, that a minhag of a community is generally binding on that community to the extent of a neder, to the extent that if you want to start doing differently, then you have to be matu neder, and sometimes you can't even be matu neder. But
I'm saying, and it's not so relevant. But if you have, let's say, like the arayas that are considered real arayas, then that's like high misa. I mean, I don't know what the halachas are regarding.
No, right? So when it comes right,
but if it's a neder, it's not the same.
Right. No, but nevertheless, right. You know, you have, for example, you have a sicha where the Rebbe talks about in this connection about Yaakov marrying two sisters. That how did he do that? And you have all the different answers from Mefarshim, and the Rebbe says that the ultimate answer is that it really was mutter at that point because Yaakov has the din of a ben noyach. He wanted to be machmir on himself. Very well, he can be machmir, but only when it doesn't impinge on a more serious isser, which is he promised Rachel that he's going to marry her, and therefore he has to marry her no matter what, even if that means setting aside his personal chumrah in favor of, again, this would be an example, that to lie, to break a promise is not technically one of the Shev Mitzvahs Bnei Noach, but again, it was something that was generally accepted by the population at large. You see that Yaakov is able to call Lavan on it, have Lomar Rimi Sani. Why doesn't Lavan answer? What do you mean, Lomar Rimi Sani? There's no Issur in it. It's not one of the Shev Mitzvahs Bnei Noach. The answer is, because, yeah, that civilized society required that you keep your word. So Yaakov has to hold himself to that also, and if that means overriding his personal chumrah about two sisters, then he's going to have to do that.
That seems like you said that if he wouldn't marry, then that Esau would have.
Well, it's also true that Esau would have married Rachel, but that's a whole other matter. Right. But yeah, okay, going on.
Hakol Kamina Medina. We learn all the Gemaras. A lot of times it says Hakol Kamina Medina.
Hakol Kamina Medina.
You go one place, have one in there.
Right. So there's no question. Once the Torah was given, for example, then you have 20 arayas that are also. Then there's no playing games with that. Then something is also. It's also, and there's no. I'm doing it for a higher purpose. We're going to actually talk about on Amud Beis. We're going to talk about Yoel with Sisera. There is the rare concept of Avera Lashma. But that's not a blanket heter, obviously. That's that unique case in Jewish history, as we'll talk about on Omid Beis. But once the Torah was given, then there's no playing around with this. You can't say that the Torah asks me to marry two sisters, but this is an exception, and I'm going to do that because that's what the Torah asks it to you. But here we're talking about before Mount Torah, when it wasn't technically also for them. Anyway, so the Gemara asked the Dilma, who nami the shum mitzvah ikaven? Yeah, but how do you know? Maybe he also intended for the mitzvah. Maybe he also thought the whole world was destroyed. And the answer is Amar Rabbi Yochanan. And Rabbi Yochanan says, if you look in the story of Lot, earlier in the story, you'll see that when it says before that Abraham had asked him in Parshas Lech Lecha, please separate from me and you go your way and I'll go mine so that our shepherds don't keep fighting and then and you grazing in people's fields or whatever. So he goes, so he, the Pasuk says he looked and saw Sdoim and decided to settle there. And Rabbi Yechanan says, every phrase in that Pasuk is meant to hint to Aveira. And in Gemara terminology, Aveira, unspecified, often means Znus. So in other words, Lot's real motivation for settling in Sdoim was not because it's a rich land, as the Pasuk says over there, and because there's plenty of pasture for his flocks and so on and so forth, but because it's a place of Znus, and he wanted to be able to enjoy it.
At least Abraham can do what I want.
Pretty much, yeah. And the point is, in other words, because otherwise the Pasuk is extra. Why does it need to tell the Pasuk? So what happens? Abraham tells Lot, separate from me. What happens? The Pasuk says, Lot lifted up his eyes and saw the whole valley of the Yarden. It was all well-watered, etc. And Lot picked Sdoim. Now, why do we need that Pasuk? It's enough to say that Avraham tells Lot, separate from me, and Lot chose to live in Sdoim. Why the Pasuk by Yisrael Lot is saying of? So Rabbi Yochanan is telling us because it shows us his motivations, each phrase in it hints at Znus. Let's go through the Pasuk. Nema by Yisrael Lot. The Pasuk says, Lot lifted up his eyes. And corresponding to that, you have by Potiphar's wife, that Potiphar's wife lifted up her eyes to Yosef and wanted to be Mazana with him. So therefore, the Vayisa Lot, the same thing, implies that he had the same kind of intention. When it continues, S-A-Nav, when it says that Lot lifted up his eyes, for that you have the parallel pasuk with Shimshon, where he says about a Plishti girl that he wants to marry, Kihi Yoshra Be'enai, she is upright in my eyes. Now fine, Shimshon had good motivations over there. He wants to hide among the Plishtim and pretend like he's one of them and then harass them from the inside. But nevertheless, the Mishnah and Sota and the Gemara there tell us that he still spoke wrongly by saying she's upright in my eyes. In other words, it's my decision rather than he should have attributed it to Hashem.
Also an Avera.
So that's not really an Avera Lishma. The Rambam stresses that Shimshon was Megayer there. The point is, though, he should have been more careful to check out her true motives for becoming this Megayer. In the end, we see in the Pesukim over there that she still felt more of a kinship with the Plishtim. You have the whole thing over there with Shimshon's riddle, where she wormed the secret out of him and told it to the Plishtim, and then she ended up marrying a Plishti herself, even though, remember, she's already a married woman, she's already married to Shimshon. So we see that to begin with, her Gairus was not motivated by the right reasons. That Amram says that's why the Pasuk makes it sound as though Shimshon married a Goita, but in fact he was Megayer. So there it wasn't an actual issue. Anyway, so the S-A-Nav by Lot goes together with Kihi Yoshra Be'enai, so it shows, in other words, again, that there's an element of Znus over there. Next, when it continues Vayar, when it says he saw the whole valley of Sdoim, that goes with Vayar is a Shem and Hamer, when Shem saw Dina and kidnapped her and raped her. When it continues as Kikar HaYarden, he saw the entire valley of the Yarden. The word Kikar literally means something round. So there it means the round valley of the Yarden. But we also find the word Kikar can also mean a round loaf of bread. And you have a pasuk, Kiba ad Isha Zona ad Kikar Lochem. Because of an Isha Zona down to a loaf of bread. In other words, the pasuk is, Shlomo is warning a person, don't get involved with a Zona because you're going to end up spending a huge amount of money on her, on others like her. You're going to wind up being down to your last loaf of bread.
Make you poor,
yeah.
Doesn't mean square?
No, kikar doesn't mean square. It means, literally it means round. The point is the word kikar is used for a valley and also for a loaf of bread. And when it continues, ki chula mashke, when he sees that the entire valley of Sdoim was well watered, the word mashke goes with a pasuk that Hosea compares the Jewish people to a woman who's mezana after she's married to her husband, the same way the Jewish people are being mezana and worshiping Avodah Zarah. And he says that he says that the Jewish people are saying, El cha achre ma'ahavai, let me go follow my lovers, meaning the Avodah Zarah, noisne lachmi umeimai, who are the ones who give me my bread and my water, samri ufishti, my wool and my linen, shamni, my oil, shikuyai, and my drink. So the word shikuyai is the same shortage as mashke. So therefore, when it says that Lot saw that the whole area was mashke, means it's implying that he was thinking of the kind of drinks that are associated with znus. So therefore, so we see that Lot all along had that kind of motivation, and therefore now, when his daughters did what they did, then we can't say that Lot had pure motives. Okay, you might ask about Manus Onus. The fact is, though, he was onerous. They gave him to drink until they gave him to drink. And in fact, in halacha, you have, there's a concept called shichrusa shaloit, that if a person is so drunk as loit that he doesn't know what's going on, then he's actually, he's like a shoita. He's potter at that point from all mitzvahs. Yeah. And then the pasuk says, lo yada b'shichlo v'koma. But the answer is, tana mishumer of yaisi barav chayni, lama nakud avav uvakoma shal b'chira. So you have by the older daughter, it says, he didn't know when she lay down and when she got up. But there's a dot in the Sefer Torah over the second Vav of Kum. Why? The dot always tells us the Darish in something in the word. Loimar, it tells us, it tells us he didn't know when she went to sleep with him, fine, because she because he was drunk. But in the morning, when she got up, he knew. He realized that she's getting out, and he had either it means he actually had some kind of dim memory of what happened, or at least that he realized she's getting up. Why was she laying with me last night? He should have realized that something happened. So if someone asks, okay, well, my have a little merban. Okay, at that point, what could he do? My have a habit. It's a done deal. The answer is not yet. Rashi mentions it on the pasuk. It comes from this gemara. Nafkamina, the lapanya achrina, lo yiboy the mishtechamra. So the second night, he shouldn't have drunk. The fact that the second night they could give him the drink and he had no problem with it, even though he should have realized at this point, and the dot on the Vav of Kuma tells us that he had some kind of memory of what happened, and nevertheless, he has no problem drinking wine, even though realizing the same thing could happen again, shows that therefore he didn't mean L'dvar Mitzvah at all, he meant L'dvar Abeira, therefore he can be described as the Poshin Yikosh Luvon. By the way, Marsha elsewhere mentions an interesting point. We know when it comes to Amun and Moav, which are the two nations that come from their children, the men are not allowed to marry into the Jewish people ever, even ad dor asirul yovelav kalashem. But the women are mutter, like Rus and like Nama Amonis. That goes all the way back to how these two nations came into being. The women, Loit's daughters, met l'shem shemayim. The man, Loit, did not. He meant the Dvar Aveira. Therefore, that comes out in their future descendants, that the men are one thing and the women are something else altogether.
Is there a difference between the two nations alone?
Within the two nations themselves, I mean, you know, there's no difference in foreign as far as halach. What you do have is the Gemara is going to point out soon that there is a certain way in which the older daughter did better than the younger one, and a certain way in which the younger one did better. We're going to talk about it in the Gemara. We're going to talk about it in the Gemara later. So the Gemara continues. Dorash Rava, talking more about Lloyd, Rava Darshan, the Pasuk says, "My dichtiv." What is the meaning of the Pasuk? What is the meaning of the Pasuk in Mishlei? Och nifsha mikiryas oiz, a brother who rebels against a sworn city, umidyonim, and then there's arguments and fights, kivriach amon, like the bolt on the door of a palace. So the simple meaning of the pasuk means just that. In other words, that you have a person who, he was a brother, he was in a sworn city, and he decided to rebel and go his own way, so now it ends up being that there's a permanent rift between him and the people of the city. As if like he was barred with a kind of strong bar that you would have to lock the gate of a castle. But what is that pasuk referring to? Och nifsha mikiryas oiz, the first half, the brother who rebels against the strong city. Zeloit shepirash me'Avraham, that refers to Loit who was called. Avraham called him Ach. He calls him Anoshim Ach and Anach. We're like brothers. He was actually Avraham's nephew, but a nephew can be considered like a brother. So he's like a brother. He's like an equal to Avraham in a certain way. But Shapirish me Avraham, but he rebelled against Avraham and went and settled elsewhere. Where the word oiz means strength. Elsewhere you have the pasuk describes Avraham Avinu as Sur Chutzavtem, the rock from which we Jewish people were carved out. So therefore Avraham can also be described metaphorically in this pasuk as a strong, powerful city. And Loit voluntarily decides to leave him. Now, in other words, because, I mean, Avraham is telling him, please go away. But Loit could have told him that, no, I can't bear to be away from you. Fine, I'll make sure my shepherds in the future behave themselves. He could have said that at least I want to live someplace close by. And no, we're saying that he just decided, you know what, good. I don't need, as Rashi mentioned on the puzzle over there, I don't need Avraham. I don't need his God. Yeah. So he left. And the result is, midyonim kivriach armon, the result is that there's a rift, a fight, like the bolt of a castle, meaning shehito midyonim kivrichim ba'armon, he made a rift between his nations and the nation of Abraham forever, kivrichim ba'armon, like bolts and like a palace, like a castle. Namely, la yovai armonium, wherever the palashem, that there's an issue for all time, that an ammonium is not allowed to enter into the Jewish people, that men from them are not allowed to intermarry into the Jewish people. So that was all caused by him leaving Abraham. Had he never left Abraham, then there wouldn't be this issue on his descendants. Now, to be sure, I mean, the psukim over there in Parshas Tisetse, when they say the Isser, give a different reason for it. Al barasha lekidmo es hamalechem amayim, then come out to greet you with bread and water, and Moav hired Bilam to curse the Jewish people. But still, the point is, all of these things factored in. Maybe you could say if Lloyd had never left, he never would have fathered those nations in the first place, because he wouldn't have been in a cave over there with his daughters thinking the whole world is destroyed. Or even if not, the point is, in other words, that you have many different factors that go into the Isser on those nations, and the first factor was that Lloyd separated himself from Abraham and decided, I don't need Abraham and I don't need Hashem. So another drasha in this connection, drasha rabba, the itamer of Yitzchak, some say of Yitzchak Dausch in this one, my dichtiv, another pasuk in Mishlei says, this is actually the other pasuk that we just quoted is a pasuk further on in Mishlei Perek Yud Ches. This is the first pasuk of that perek. Okay, prakim, the divisions of prakim were made by the goyim long after Rava's times, but nevertheless, they're not that far apart. These psukim, they're about 20 psukim apart. Anyway, Pasuk says, my dichtiv, l'savo yivakesh nifrod, the one who separates himself wants taiva, wants his desires, uvachol tushia yisgala, and in every place of tushia, which literally means like good advice, yisgala, he is uncovered. So Pshutashal Mikra is that it means, for example, that you have, actually on the Pasuk explains over there, that you have a person who separates himself from Hashem, decides that he doesn't have to keep mitzvahs because he has taivas, and so in the end, the Chachamim end up seeing his embarrassment becomes publicized among all the Chachamim, the whole Toshia, every place where people gather to learn Torah, Yisgala, he becomes uncovered, Yisgala with an ayin, similar to Yisgala with a hey, so it becomes uncovered, it becomes known what he did.
Ezra means
to help. No, I'm not sure. Tushia. Yeah, Tushia literally means good advice. Many times in Tanakh, if not always, it's used as a word for Torah. There's an expression in the Gemara elsewhere that Torah is called that because Matreshes Koicha Shel Adam, it weakens a person's strength, Begashmias, and strengthens in Beruchnias, but anyway. So what is this pasuk referring to? Again, it's telling us about Lloyd. L'sava yivakesh nifrad, the one who separates himself is demanding his taivas, zeh Lloyd. That refers to Lloyd. Because again, we said, why did he separate from Abraham? Is because he wanted. He saw what's going on in Sodom, and he wants to be a part of it. And the result is, v'chol tushia yisgala, means shenitzgala kloinoi, v'votik nisiyas v'votim medrashas. His embarrassment is permanently revealed in the shuls and in the batei medrash, meaning in Torah shebichsav and in Torah shebal peh. So in Torah shebichsav, which is learned in shul, and Torah shebal peh, which is read in the Beis Medrash, which is learned in the Beis Medrash, in both of them we have this point. It's now we learn in a Mishnah in Yevamos, ammonium yovei asurin v'isurin isur olam, that an ammonium yovei are osur, and their isur is forever. Even if an ammonium becomes a ger, his great 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 however many times great grandson is still also to enter into the Jewish people. This is a permanent thing that you have every time people learn Torah Shabbat and come across that pasuk, and every time they learn Torah Shabbat and come across that Mishnah and that halacha, then we have Lloyd's shame is revealed over and over again that this all happened because he separated himself from Abraham in order to go after his titus. By the way, we find in the Midrashim that the Ammonim and Moavim knew about this and they resented it very greatly. You have, in fact, the Medrash says that for example, in the times of Shol, you have the king of Ammon named Nachash Ammoni is threatening a Jewish city of Yavish Gilad, and he threatens them that the only way I'm going to leave you alone and not massacre you and not kill you all is if you cut out your right eye. And Rashi brings over there from a Medrash that he's telling them, I want you to cut out of your Sifrei Torah this pasuk lo Yavi Ammoni Mayavi. The upshot is that Shaul heard about it and brought an army and rescued them and defeated the Ammonim. Later on, you have at the time of the Churban also, it says that Yodei Paras Tzorak HaMachmadel, the passage says that the enemy stretched out his hand over all the precious things of the Jewish people. What's our most precious thing, the Torah? And so again, the Medrash explained that the Ammonim and Moavim were looking for every safer Torah that they could grab from the spoils of the Beis Hamikdash to cut out that passage. So you see how they knew about it and they resented it, and so you see that it's an eternal shame for them, yeah. So the Gemara continues on this topic. Let's get back to the point of a person's motivation in doing something. Omar Ola, Tomer Zinsa, Tomer was Mizana with Yehuda. She went and disguised herself as a Zona and seduced Yehuda. Okay, again, technically it was Mutter before the Torah was given, but still it was a shameful thing to do, which is why Yehuda tried to cover it up.
Well, it was... And then
she was doing it for a good purpose. That's the point that Gemara is going to make.
She said, take her out and burn her. So
yeah, that's the point. In other words, it was obviously, well, no, that's because she was a Shemeres Yavim. That's another matter. But even just the way she went about it was something humiliating for Yehuda, but whatever. So she did that. And the Zimri, and Zimri Zina, and Zimri also was Mizana with Kozmi. And yet there's a big difference. Tomer Zinsa Yotzman and Malachim and Nevi'im. Tomer did it, but Malach, but kings and Nevi'im descended from her. King David and Shlomo and that whole dynasty comes from her. And Nevi'im, because we find that, the Gemara mentions in Megillah that Omotz, the father of the Navi Yeshaya, was himself a Navi, and he was the brother of Amatziah, one of the kings of Yehuda. Which means that Yeshaya was actually a cousin of the kings of Yehuda. So of the following kings of Yehuda, Uzziah, Yosam, Achaz, Yechizkiah, who we said Nevuah in their times, he was their cousin. Anyway, the point is that all of them descended from Tamar as a result of what she did with Yehuda. Because she was tacked doing it for the purpose of a mitzvah. On the other hand, Zimri Zina, but Zimri did it for the sake of an Avera, not for all of Kamar of Avis Misrael, 24,000 Jews were killed because of him. So that's the point. In other words, you can have the same kind of action is done, but one person is doing a l'shem mitzvah, and great things come as a result of it, and the other one is doing a l'shem avera, and terrible things come from it. With Zimri and Cosby at the end of Parshas Balak over there, where he takes Cosby, a Midiani princess, and has relations with her, and Pinchas comes and kills them both. By the way, there are Sfarim, there are Sifrei Kabbalah that explain that maybe Zimri also had intentions of doing some of doing it for the good of accomplishing something beruchnius over there, as it says in Asorah Ma'amoris or something, but he went about it the wrong way. Like this, when he does it publicly and she's still in Goita and he publicly challenges Moshe at all. It was all the Alderach like the Chetei Tadats, for example. If Adam and Chava, we know, had waited a couple more hours, then the fruit would have been mutter to them. The same way, if Zimri and Cosby had waited a little longer, then it would have been mutter, and he would have accomplished great things with it. But he jumped the gun. But so he was saying he jumped the gun, and was saying over here in the Gemara that he did it, that he and she did it for the sake of Znus, and the result was that many people were killed. So further in this connection, the Gemara says, "Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchok, Gedola Avera Lishma Mimitzvah Shaloi Lishma." An Avera that's done Lishma, that's done for the sake of Hashem, which the Mefarish actually says Lishem Mitzvah. That means that he's doing the Avera for the sake of a mitzvah. Now, obviously, again, you can't start doing Haterim from this, that therefore it means you can do any Avera and claim it's Lashem Mitzvah. That's, you know, the Shabbos Tzvinix, for example, did that. But it means that there can be this rare case where a person is doing something that on the face of it is an Avera, and he's doing it Lashma. He's doing it, for example, to save the Jewish people, as the example we're going to have with Yoel and Sisera, is greater than a mitzvah Shaloi Lashma, is greater than a mitzvah that a person does Shaloi Lashma. So the Gemara asks, what do you mean? A person should always occupy himself with Torah and mitzvahs, even if it's shaloi l'shma, even if he's doing it for improper motives. From doing it shaloi l'shma, he'll come to eventually doing it l'shma. And you have the expression that the Alter Rebbe explains in Tanya that mitoich also means within, because every yid deep down wants to do what the Eibishter wants, so mitoich within the Shaloi Lishma is already the Lishma, it just has to be brought out. Tosfos mentions over here a point, which they also mention in a few other places in Shas, that there is a different Gemara in Brachas that says that if a person does mitzvah Shaloi Lishma, noyach lo shalinivra, he would have been better off not being born. And so Tosfos makes the distinction here and in a few other places that there's a difference between different kinds of Shaloi Lishma. The Shaloi Lishma we're talking about in Og Gemara over here is, for example, he wants to pride himself on it. He wants to become famous. He wants everybody to call him Rebbe. So it's not the best motive to be doing Torah and mitzvahs, but it's acceptable. The mitzvah is still a mitzvah. What we're talking about over there, Tosfos says, is where he's doing it lakanto, lakape, or here Tosfos uses the expression, lakapea hafeirim, to cut off others. So it can mean, in other words, for example, like to pride himself, and not just to pride himself, but to say, look how big I am, and look what a nothing you are. It can mean, for example, let's say, to use his Torah actually as a weapon against others, like to use knowledge of loopholes in Torah, for example, to cheat other people. It can mean different kinds of things like that, where a person is using the Torah itself in order to harm or insult or whatever other people. So that kind of thing, we're saying no yachshalei shalei nivra. That's not the olam yasek shalei lishma. But here we're talking about he's doing it for selfish reasons. He wants to become famous. He wants to get his name out. He wants to get his name in the headlines or whatever.
So it's not the best reason, but it's still acceptable. Anyway, the point is, so how can you say that an Aveda Lashmo would be greater than that? Ella Emo, you're right. You have to say that Aveda Lashmo is Kim Mitzvah Shaloi Lashmo. It's as great as a Mitzvah Shaloi Lashmo. Because the Maharal explains, each one has a Maila and a Chisor, an Aveda Lashmo. There is an Aveda over there. But on the other hand, the Maila is doing the Lashmo. But it doesn't bring you to do another Mitzvah. On the other hand, the Mitzvah Shaloi Lashmo, Mitzvah Gereris Mitzvah. So the action itself was Shaloi Lashmo. But at least though it was a mitzvah, and mitzvah gereris mitzvah. So in that sense, then the Gemara says that they're both equal. Shtei and Shavus, the Mefarsh says. And how do we see this? Dichtiv, we can see this because you have a pasuk in connection with Yoel. So you have the story over there that the Jewish people are fighting against Sisera and his army. It's that part of Parshas Mishalach. So Sisera runs to Yoel's tent. He thinks that he'll be safe over there because Chever and Yoel have a peace treaty with Yavin and then Sisera. So he runs in there. He asks her to shelter him. She gives him milk to drink. Then when he falls asleep, then she takes a tent peg and then drives it through his head and kills him. So now, as Gemara is going to point out in a few lines, she actually not only gave him milk, but she also, in order to weaken him so he'd fall asleep and not be able to do anything when she's killing him, she actually had relations with him multiple times. So that's an example of Aveda Lashma. It's an Aveda. She's a married woman, but it was Lashma. There is, I think, Rabbi Yaakov Emden wants to say that maybe, in fact, she wasn't even Jewish at all. She might have been Gioras Toshav, and in that case, then the rules are a little more relaxed for her. I mean, there is the concept of Eishes Ish by Goyim as well, but maybe it's not as stringent. But most Mephoshim understand that she was, in fact, a Jewish woman. But this was an exceptional kind of thing. So, yeah. They were Canaan. They were descendants of Yisrael. They were the descendants of Yisrael. So we generally understand that the descendants of Yisrael became Gerim. Apparently, Rabbi Yaakov Emden is understanding that not all of them did. Apparently, some of them became Gerim, and some of them remained Goyim and just became Gerim Toshav. Yeah.
This would be one where it speaks about that she just laid there and it was.
That's, yeah, we're going to have that in a few lines. Yeah, we had it in Yevamos as well months back. Yeah. Yeah. So Dichtiv, Tevorah, now later on, when Devorah sings the Shira, she says, Tevorah minoshim Yoel Eishes Chever HaKeni, Yoel, the wife of Chever HaKeni, should be blessed from more than all the women. Minoshim ba'oil Tevorah, she should be blessed more than the women in the tent. Or minoshim can also mean from the women. She should get the same kind of bracha as they did. So man noshim sheba'oil, who are the women who are described in the tent? Sora Rivka Rocha V'Loya. Each of them, by each one of the Imahis, you have a passage that mentions their tent. So now, what's the point? What was the mitzvah Shaloi Lashma by each of them? So the Mefarish over here says that each one of them told their husbands to marry a Shifcha, Sara, Rochel, and Leah, not Rivka, then in that case, we'd have to take out Rivka, Yitzchak never married a Shifcha, but Sara, Rochel, and Leah all told their husbands to take a Shifcha, and they're doing it really, the Mefarish says, because they're jealous one of another. So therefore, you can say, in other words, they're doing an Avera, they're doing a mitzvah, Shaloi Lashma. They're doing a mitzvah that there should be children, but they're doing it Shaloi Lashma. They're not doing it completely for the right motives, but rather because they're jealous. On the other hand,
like Sarah was jealous.
Sarah was just jealous that she done not having children. You know, not Sarani Hashem Yiledes. She first got jealous, but yeah.
Afterwards, when
he married Hagar, then there were bigger problems, but yeah.
Maybe
Avraham is not trying, who knows, whatever. Anyway, elsewhere, Rashi and Tosfos explain a different point, which is, in the Gemara and Yevamos, which is that all of them had relations with their husbands. Sure, they were doing it L'shem Mitzvah in order to have children. That would build up the Jewish people. But there is also, they're having Hanah in it as well, so therefore it's not purely L'shma. On the other hand, as the Gemara is going to say on over here, Yoel did not have Hanah from Sisera at all. So therefore, in that sense, she's better than them. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yechanan, Sheva Be'ilas Baal Oseh Rosha Ba'oseh Shah. That Rosha Sisera had relations with her seven times at that point. Shenema, Bein Ragleha Koran Nafal Shochav. In the Shira, where their devotee mentions seven expressions of him crouching down and falling down and so forth, the word Bein Ragleha, between her legs, refers to having relations. So, since you have seven expressions in the Pasuk, Koran Nafal Shochav, then it repeats again, Koran Nafal, etc. So therefore, we learn that it was seven times. So if you want to ask, so the point is, in other words, that she seduced him into this way he'll be so weak that this way she can kill him and he won't be able to resist.
So the Gemara asks, "Bahokam is hanyam of the ilad delay." Okay, but after all, isn't she having hanah from that? So how can we say that it's aveir l'shma and say that it's as great as, or maybe even according to the original thing, greater than an mitzvah shel l'shma? The answer is Amar Rav Yechanan, kol tevosim shel rishoyim ena ela raw etzot tzadikim. Any good that the rishoyim do, the tzadikim, like Yael, consider that to be a bad thing. They don't get any hanah from it. They don't get any hanah from it. In fact, they're disturbed by it. We find by love, and Hashem tells him, don't speak to Yaakov, good or bad. So we have to ask, why not? The Shlemer Rasha, of course he shouldn't speak bad and threaten Yaakov or anything. Ela Toiv Amayloi, why should he speak to him good? Ela Lav Shmamina, Toivasa Rahi, Eitzel Toivasa Rahi. It shows that even what he claims to be good is really bad. For one thing, because it means he's going to be swearing by his idols, as in fact we have later in the Psukim, and Yaakov would resent that. But Chalal, so the same thing over here. In other words, she's not having any hana from what Sisera is doing at all, because Fakeut, in fact, the Gemara mentions over there in Yevamos, that he brought a zuam, or he brought a ruchnistic of filth into her that as a result of that. So she didn't like it at all. So Shmamina, so therefore that proves that is why, so she had no Hana at all, and therefore that's why the Pasuk is praising her so much, because it was an Aveira Lashma. Again, nobody has the right in later times to say, I'm going to do this Aveira and I'll call it Lashma, but we should know that the concept exists. She saved all the Yidden with that, yeah. We'll continue this tomorrow, Beth.
We also have Esther.
Well, so in the case of Esther is an interesting point.